live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to Total Education Show on the Total Education Network. Remember to go to my website, TotalTutor.org, for more information. Well, I've been going through some hassles this week. It's specifically enough just learning the new system and everything, and I think I finally am all systems go, would you say? And let's hope it's true, because it seems like we're back, and Jarrett and I are fine, back, ready to go again, thanks to me fixing something on one of the new recording systems. But I want to welcome to the program, Jarrett, how are you?
Very good, Neil. We celebrated my son's birthday this past weekend. Nice little family get-together. So can't say anything bad. Everything's good.
Well, I think everything's good as long as this recording goes as it goes, because it was really a tough week so far, and I'm hoping finally we fix something. But speaking of fixing, I've been giving tips so far. I guess we're at part three of this whole college process. And I know that you've been really interested in following this, because a lot of it you agree with so far, and how we could get these high school students to prepare themselves for college.
Oh, absolutely. You know, this is about our whole show, our whole aspect of what we do here is how to maximize the potential of each and every child. And that includes as they get older and they really are getting ready to join the rest of society in adulthood.
Exactly. And I think that what happens a lot of times in this situation is that when they're not prepared, big time problems happen later on. So let's go right to this. And I guess the way to break this down in a lot of ways is kind of review us that they went through, created a list. They did research the first time. Second time through, they were looking at their objectives, really preparing for it, narrowing down their list, and now it's time for college visits. And I recommend these college visits happen during their 10th grade year. And that's different too, Jarrett. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I mean, I know that most of the people that I'm familiar with usually do that in probably the senior year, but it doesn't give them necessarily a lot of time to make some important decisions.
Exactly. So this is the time, and this is the place, and this is the motion, and Greece is the world. Not just kidding, but that's lack of sleep. But I'm sure people laugh. But no, really, it is the time and the place for them to do it in 10th grade. And these can be controlled visits by the parents. I talked about my recruiting visits, or kind of gave a heads up of what those recruiting visits are like, and that really you're not getting to see the campus. You're getting to see party life. So I think if parents can take their kids with them on these visits, teach them the cultural life of it, and really go on a nice tour, I think it's key. So the first step really to look at is specifically once they narrow down that list and they've reached their objectives after their ninth grade year, that their grades are definitely capable of going on to those schools, it's time to make the visits.
And well, Neil, let me ask you to share with our listeners here. You're much more familiar with this than I am. What is it that a parent and a student will be looking for during these college visits that they're making?
Well, what they're going to be looking for during these college visits is specifically enough the situation that they're going to be checking out, seeing, is they're going to look at all the process. I think that the more they know their campus. But I'm really going to go right to one of the things. It's the community outside the campus. The campus is just part of it. But is it a place where they're not going to be calling home saying they're homesick? And meaning, are there a lot of things to do in that school, not just go and party? I think a lot of times when you send kids out to a rural area that is boring, did I say Penn State? And you go out there, there's nothing to do but party. But if you pick an area, let's say like a great urban life like Pittsburgh, there's so much to do in Oakland, Jarrett. You don't have to constantly be going to parties. And then you're in the cultural district in Pittsburgh. A lot of times families could come out and visit. So I think it's a cool thing.
So what you're saying to parents here is, visit the school and extend it beyond just the campus grounds.
Exactly. So step one is just to look around the city. And then ask your child questions. Does this seem like a place you want to live for 4 years? or 6 years? Does this seem like a place that you won't be bored and you won't want to just come home every week? Is this something, you know, and you maybe go to a baseball game, maybe go check out a some sort of cultural event, specific things like that, looking at public transportation in that city, if it's a bigger city, and looking at also the other activities. Are there things to do that are, I guess, good? Not always, because what I get concerned about is a lot of times kids pick the school, they go on a visit, and all their friends that might be attended or friends from a year before in high school, they go show them a good time. All right, I'm signing on the dotted line. Well, a lot of times that's not a good idea.
How important, Neil, would you say, again, we're looking at 10th grade, these young people still have a tremendous amount of future left, even within high school, even before they're moving on to college. How important would you say it is to also look at the kind of the employment prospect within that college setting?
Oh yeah, I think that's key. I think that when you're looking at specifically enough the employment process, meaning of the school, but I think that might go into part four. Like I said, we've really had to pick up some things in our book. I made a decision, an executive decision. I didn't talk to you about it. I'm sorry, Jared. I made an executive decision that we have enough material for our first book, so that we're already starting to write our second book starting next week. Once we get enough from college and adult age area for our book, we're ready to roll. So, no, I think that that's maybe for the next part on Thursday, because you can listen to the whole entire network to go into the last part. But that's a great point about your grades, GPA, majors, what majors to research. And we kind of talked about this, but I think it's good once you get to the visit to ask those questions. So after you kind of check out the cultural area, then you go on a visit. And make sure you schedule that visit. A good friend of mine talked about it. Carol Jones, who's a college expert, told me. She said you got to call the school and set up a formal visit, not just informal, where you get to go on a tour. They're happy to do tours all the time. And summer would have been a perfect time. And sorry to say, summer's over for you teachers out there. But it's a time and a place where you can go ahead and find, you know, you go out and go on that visit. And then the visit is when you ask all the questions. And then I think after a visit's over, it's a great time for your son or daughter to reflect on that visit, to look at pros and cons. And I hope that they can end up making maybe 6 of these weekend trips to 7 of these weekend trips in 10th grade. Why do you think that's important, Jarrett?
Why do I think that those trips are important? I think it gives the, first of all, from a parental standpoint, it gives you a great deal of quality time with your older student. It also, I think, shows the student that, the child, that you're involved in their life, you're taking an active interest in their life. But I'm going to let you tell us the rest of the reason why that's so important.
Now, the rest of the story. I think that now, finally, you are allowing and giving ownership to your son or daughter. A lot of times, parents are like, guess what? You're going to this school, and it's because dad attended this school or mom attended. Now, by having this ability to compare schools, compare different things about it, what did you think about the walk to the cafeteria? You think that's important? What did you think of the library? Was it a place where you could really focus and study? Were the dorm rooms adequate for you? I mean, all these things lead to kids that end up transferring if they don't like these things. But if they can check these things out in 10th grade, they're really motivated coming into that 11th grade year. And I think that's where our story will come next in this process, is to talk about that 11th grade year. And looking at specifically enough, when we're talking about the 11th grade year, to see all the ducks need to be in the row. But then they make their visits. They check things out, they ask questions, and then we have a team meeting with the parents and the child and asking their teenager, what do they think of the schools? What did you like about it? What didn't you like about it? And then say, do you see yourself there for 4 years? Do you see yourself graduating there? These are good questions now, because then you have goals set going into 11th grade.
Neil, how soon do you have this team conference or this team meeting to discuss the pros and cons. How soon do you do that after the visit?
Well, what I think the time and the place to do it is right afterwards, first time, and then kind of compare all the schools once you've made all your visits for the year. So that
so
you
do it while it's fresh in your mind.
Exactly. So you're kind of gathering those notes, and mom and dad could take down those notes and make sure that they see, that's great. They liked it because of this reason. And I think you're absolutely right, Jarrett. When we talked about researching schools, I think that you came up with a great tip and you weren't thinking about it. 10th grade is not the time, because I believe we're going to go on visits again in 11th grade. Once we really narrow down to 2 to 3 schools. 10th grade's the time for when they're researching in 9th grade to not look at as much the major as the school they want to attend, and can they attend based on their GPA? Because in 9th grade, I don't think they have the maturity to really choose what they're going to want to do. But in 10th grade, it starts to go in their brain. And I think after coming back from those visits and seeing what schools are interesting, I think part four, Jared, of this is going to be more of a conversation about how are we going. Now we're setting all the big goals, the SAT, the ACT, all the big things coming up in 11th grade. And we're putting them all out there, and let's set them and make sure that we graduate. I mean, after our 11th grade, you're in school. Guess what, Jarrett? You already have everything done. You already have your college essay finished. You're already ready for the application process, so that your senior year, your 12th grade year, is going to be a time of getting that first admission. You're going to be sitting there after first quarter of your senior year and saying, I'm in college. And that's a job well done. Not the ones that are waiting on the last thing where I'm going to get this wave starting in September, Jared. I know it. Families that are going to need SAT prep just to get the score, just to get in. And this always happens in September. And this is when the new season starts, this SAT. But again, appreciate you being part of this conversation. Great questions you've asked. And we can find more information with Jarrett just going right to the Total Education Network and listening to it. And I can't wait, Jarrett. You get ready. You're going to be interviewing and all over the country on radio interviews. I'm going to call anytime I'm in between commutes starting in November. I'll be calling Fox News. I'll be calling MSNBC. I'll have conversations with all these producers saying, Jarrett needs to come on to talk education. He's that education expert you need to listen to, and then you'll sell the book.
Education and parenting. That's what we're looking to provide here for all our listeners.
Exactly. Education and parenting. All right. Well, thanks again for calling, Jarrett, and we'll be in touch, okay?
All right. Very good, Neil.
All right. Take care, Jarrett. Okay. Bye-bye. All right. That was Jarrett. You're listening to the Total Education Show on the Total Education Network. Great talk again. Really enjoyed the conversation with Jarrett. I want you to email me at nhaley@totaltutor.org if you have any questions or comments regarding my idea. We'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Show on the Total Education Network. Again, remember to go to my website, TotalTutor.org, for more information. This is what's so exciting about the show. We have a celebrity drop in when I just least expect it. I want to welcome the program, Steven Jackson from the St. Louis Rams. Thanks again for calling the program.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to talk to you specifically about the whole situation, what you're trying to do with your foundation. What a tremendous thing to give back to the community, especially with as a successful athlete as you are. Why did you decide to do that? What is your whole drive to do this?
I think just first and foremost, being able to play in the National Football League, we all have the impact of the positive influence in our communities, and growing up in Las Vegas, Nevada. But we don't have a sports team. I wasn't fortunate enough to meet some of my idols and guys that I looked up to and wanted to be like. So once I mentioned the NFL, I wanted to be an outsource and be actually a symbol of hope to some of these young people to encourage them to live their lives, not only just because to achieve great success in athletics, but in their lives, period.
And you can make a difference because of your celebrity name and your success that you say, you know what, this is what is something that I'm called to do, and I know I can help others. And that by having this name, let me utilize it, correct?
Well, it definitely allows you to reach out to people that know, you know, it would be harder to reach, and they give you their ear a little easier. But a lot of people, no matter if you're famous or not, when they feel the sincerity of you wanting to help out, and they they're very thankful for that, for them, and for you, people like us, to just think about them.
Definitely. Now, tell us about your foundation. You're doing some tremendous things, working with many different people in the St. Louis community and all over the world. But when it comes to your passion, how passionate you are about education, tell us a little bit about that.
Stephen Jackson Foundation was founded in 2004, and it's combating illiteracy. We want to encourage our young people to stay in school, and I always have an emphasis on telling them that you can't put a price tag on your education. You never get too old to learn. So I really hone in on that. We talk to them about achieving great success while they're in school and the years after.
You know how important literacy is. If they can't read, how are they going to be successful in life?
Absolutely. It's a whole other world out there, especially in books. And when you have the chance to talk to kids and explain to them that you don't have to be you don't have to live by what other people speak into your life, that you can achieve dreams and live out dreams. And I always talk to them about that. From the age of 10 years old or even younger, I had a dream and aspiration of being an NFL football player, but also I had other dreams of being an architect and being an artist as well. And I talked to them about the importance about that and how I even was able to graduate with a 3.8 GPA. And, you know, I really don't like to hear when people talk about dumb jocks, because that's farther from the truth when it comes to myself and especially some other guys that I've had the fortune of meeting with and playing with as well.
So how do people, when they hear you talk, especially when you're talking to different children about literacy and you talk about how education is so important to you, I'm sure they really respond to that, knowing that you had other career aspirations, not just being a professional football player.
Yes, you know, once again, once you open up the door for conversation and then dialogue, your children especially, they have such great questions and interest, and we just feed off of that. I always come genuine. I don't come rehearsed. And my time with the kids and at the school, it's just second to none, and I really enjoy it. It's almost as good as, scoring a touchdown sometimes.
Does your foundation reach out not just to education and other things as well?
Yeah, definitely. We reach out. I have something in December that we call 39 Wishes, where I help give families in the St. Louis area Christmas that they wasn't expecting. But we surprised, and we were able to bless 3,000 families last year. Last week, I had a backpack drive, a going back to school drive in Las Vegas, Nevada, where we hand out to students free backpacks, food, drinks, and notebooks, and having them feel good and excited about having a fresh start at the school year. So throughout the whole year, we always have something coming up, and I love personally just being better in the community, and I always for them to feel like I'm in an olive branch not too far away.
Well, that's fantastic. Stephen, where can we find more information on you, learn about your foundation and all the great things that you're doing in the community?
You can follow me at Twitter at sj39.com and on my website as well, www.sj39.com.
And 30 seconds, Stephen, what would you say, what advice would you offer kids out there, especially when they really don't enjoy reading?
I would always tell them to start with a subject that interests them. Once you get into a subject that interests you and you begin to read upon it, you don't think about the pages or how long they're in depth. The book is, but you draw really near and you find some more insight on that subject. And once you're able to gravitate towards that and realize reading is not as bad as you once thought it was, you begin to just soul searching, going to all different kinds of topics and subjects that you want to learn about.
Well, good luck in the upcoming season, and good luck on your charity and all the great things that you're doing. And I really appreciate you taking the time to call me today.
Thank you.
All right, take care, Stephen. We're back to the Total Education Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network. Remember, go to my website, TotalTutor.org, for more information. Well, I always enjoy the celebrity segment, especially when I get to talk to an NHL player that absolutely is doing some great things with kids now. But I wanted to kind of get an update from what's going on with Bob Wilkie, so I want to welcome Bob Wilkie to the program. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Neil. I'm very excited to be back here and share what's been going on the last year.
All right, well, fantastic. Let's kind of cut to the chase and see. Last time we talked, about 4 or 5 months ago, you were talking about how you were working with one school. But I've been getting email after email after email of some of the cool things you're doing with webinars and certain things. And for this Spotlight show, it's more not as education, but educating people. You have kind of tried to create the brand because of how you've been able to help kids, right?
You know, it's been amazing the stories that I've heard over the course of a year and a half from parents who are the teachers at these schools, from parents that I've never met before, of some of the things that these kids are doing. And it's funny because they'll always go and ask, you know, the parents, like, where did you learn how to do that? And they always fortunately come back to say, you know, it's the sessions that we do with Bob that we've, you know, learned to be confident and speak up for themselves. And, you know, there's just so many different instances of kids showing courage and doing things that they wouldn't normally do and inspiring the people around them.
And that's kind of told you, I'm going to go to the next level now. I'm going to take it to the next level, and that next level is to kind of market this more than just for that school.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, when I started this back in 2006 in Pennsylvania with 8 students, it was a lot of fun because it really helped, and it was good information, and I knew that. You know, how much it would help them, I didn't know. So I kept digging, and I kept trying, and I kept working, and I kept developing, and you know, through all my experiences and all my pain and that of others, you know, we've come up with something here that the kids resonate with that they're starting to pay attention to and really change their lives.
That's tremendous. I think that's a tremendous thing when you hear a situation like that where you have those opportunities to help kids in specific things. But now tell us more about I Got Mind, the next level, where you're going next with this.
Yeah, so what I've really been focusing on, you know, because I contact and when I stay in communication with the kids so much, it's all through the social media and the internet. You know, when I go into the school, they all have their own laptops. They've got the smart boards. They're very tech-savvy kids. Is created a program. Basically, it's a virtual classroom. So, you know, I would sit there and we would have discussions and I would do my presentation just like I was there so I can reach so many more kids. And there's surveys attached. There's some tests attached. There's some exercises for the teachers to do, you know, different books they can read, movies they can watch, and stressing the teaching points and all that through the entertainment that the kids love so much.
And that's great. And how has that, like you were telling the stories before of how it's definitely a character building type of thing that you're really kind of coaching kids, which is a different type of life coaching, right?
Right. I mean, that's basically it. It's the life skills. It's some of the answers to the unknown. You know, the unfortunate part is that repetitive voice of mom and dad. It just, you know, the messages are there. They're just not listening. You know, they get to that point where they're a little confused and they want to try and figure it out. And to be able to do it in an entertaining way amongst their classmates where they can have some discussions and see that other kids are kind of going through the same pain and trying to figure the same things out. It makes it, a confidence booster for them. Hey, I'm not the only one that's getting bullied. I'm not the only one that's scared to come to school. You know, I'm not the only one that's afraid to ask the girls to dance. Those are the types of things that they're starting to realize. And, I mean, anytime you're going through any kind of development, when you realize you're not the only one that doesn't know, you feel a little bit better.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. And so tell us how you're branching out now. So the first school was in the States, but then you've been teaming up with a school in Canada. So now what other schools are you working with since the last time we talked?
Well, there's another private school here in Calgary that wants the material brought in for themselves. And, you know, it's just getting to be more and more. I did a lot of presentations for different schools. And with this new platform, I can reach so many more kids. And you know, the fun part has been the teachers after the classes coming up and saying, you know what, I remember, you know, I wish I would have known this, or, you know what, I'm actually going through this. So it's really cool because they just be able to have all that information. So it's about, you know, contacting and using warm leads and, you know, getting people comfortable with the material because it is something really different.
Exactly. It's different. It's something that kids aren't used to. A lot of times we're not coaching them. And I think that's the key thing, Bob, is using the word coaching students. A lot of times we teach, we educate, we send all this information out at them, but we don't have interaction. And that's what your program does.
That's it. You know what I mean? And I've really found by speaking about my failures and my struggles, instead of, you know, I know all the answers, it's opened a door for them. And again, the results and the response, the engagement and the conversations, it blows you away. You know, like I found out this year that we were doing a big session on lying, you know, as one of the habits that a lot of kids wanted to change. And, you know, the question was, do you remember when your parents lied to you? And I was stunned by the result, but every kid in the room said Santa Claus.
Exactly.
You know, that was the first time that they really realized that their parents had lied to them. And, you know, it hurt because they had gone and sat on Santa's lap and, you know, believed that there was reindeer coming in the house and eating cookies. And then all of a sudden they wake up one day and they find out it's all a lie.
Definitely. And so how is that response when you hear that? What do you think you should do in a type of situation like that? Always be ready to interact once they find out that secret has been blown, or I guess the myth is over?
There's certain things, there's certain times, there's certain instances they're going to run into when they find out that something's not true. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that somebody lied to them. It's just because they've done some research and they've gone exploring for the truth themselves. You know, they're going to find out a lot of the things that they thought were true aren't necessarily true.
Absolutely. And when they find that out, then there has to be that dialogue. There has to be that situation, Bob, where the kids know they have someone to talk to. And I think that's the thing that's made life coaching such a huge thing outside for adults, that people have hired life coaches. But now to coach kids, and kids have such different ideas and thought process when they think about things, that they constantly want to bounce ideas off somebody. And I guess, Give us an example of the interaction through your webinars, how you're able to work with kids all over the world in this way. I'm really interested in hearing that.
Well, you know, I've been working at it and developing it. So I did a bunch of sessions recently with some hockey players that are getting ready for tryouts, which is an extremely stressful time for themselves, which, you know, brings into the household. So we put together a bunch of classes just talking about stress and consciousness, you know, understanding what the process is all about and that, you know, you're subjecting yourself to this judgment. And it was amazing what the kids were coming back with, you know, some of the frustrations that they have, you know, watching them, mom and dad in the stands, the hurtful words of the other kids, the fact that they don't ask questions to the coaches prior to or after, you know, how did I do? What are you looking for? You know, just giving them a whole bunch of ideas, and a lot of it is about how to communicate some of the things that they're feeling, because I think that's the biggest frustration that kids deal with. They don't know how to communicate those feelings.
No, they definitely don't know how to communicate those feelings. And through that process of being able to communicate it, they feel better about themselves. They have a better understanding of what's going on from that.
And the nice thing about the webinar is, you know, it's like Facebook. It's like the texting. It's not that face-to-face where maybe they feel a little threatened or intimidated or worried about somebody's going to laugh. When we're on the computer, nobody really sees anybody. It's just a voice, you know, but it's a way for them to communicate and they feel safe about it. So the discussions tend to open up and kids are adding in and kids are elaborating and, you know, feeling more confident through the whole process.
And through that confidence builds esteem, which builds to leading you to a better direction of understanding what to do next and go through those hard trials in life. Teenagers especially have so many decisions that they have to make, and elementary students, about what's going on in life. And when they can bounce those ideas off somebody and provide an opportunity to really get feedback from there, that has to be huge. And I think that your ultimate goal is now you can reach anyone in the world through this, and you're growing your consulting, helping these kids in the in Canada, but in the United States, what's I guess you're looking reaching out to the entire world then for this, right?
Yeah, again, you know, it can go anywhere. That's the beauty of it. You know, the only barrier that there is a language barrier. Other than that, you know, anybody that can get an internet connection can participate in. It's just such a fantastic way for people to, you know, open that dialogue. There's a lot of teachers and parents that I get phone calls from that, okay, so this is the issue, and how do we talk about this?